Good morning, Christ City Church. Praise God. Praise God. Everything focuses on Jesus, doesn't it? I was refreshed in worshiping with you this morning. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. I'm so thankful to be here today. My age, you're thankful to be anywhere. This church is always refreshing when I come to me. My soul is refreshed and enlarged. You are in a great preparation for the days that lie ahead. I certainly honor the ministry of this house. As we stand together to minister unto the Lord's people, it's always a joy when our brother breaks the word of God. And the evidence of his life, his family, his wife, his children, everything gives credit unto the Lord God Almighty. Go ahead. I'm very proud to be involved with all of you in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Well, what do you want to hear this morning? Hallelujah. I am so filled with just the thinking of the presence of the Lord that is with us. I know that we have worshiped, but worship never ends. It's the presence of God that lifts us, strengthens us. My personal testimony was this: many years ago, there was a threat against my life, and at that time, I needed to have an implement of faith that I could rely upon. And I was asking God for his word. A promise he gave me in the book of Romans: but if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. You know, God can say things with a first position meaning to it, but in the midst of it, he can emphasize another meaning. And when that scripture was given to me, it was like a supercharging of life that came to me, because I was looking for something strong that was a personal sign to me that God was going to meet me. I'd been given less than 60 days to exist, and my wife and family and our loved ones were praying, but I needed to know from God for myself. Now, when that scripture was given to me, in the meaning of that scripture, in that I know the prime meaning, the meaning that is intended by God in the book of Romans. Yet there was a companion meeting there. And that companion meaning gave me purpose, and it was a signal from heaven. And what I understood there, by which the Holy Spirit was magnifying, using that scripture to mean something to me, was this. get into every good Holy Ghost worship service you can. Because when the Spirit dwells, it quickens. Hallelujah. Now, my personal testimony, not meant for aggrandizement, but God has been gracious to me, sent me all over the world in different places to share His word and to be thankful for Him. In some places, they put you in a room private, and when they're ready for you, someone comes and gets you. But they go out and do their worship, and they have everything done, and then they bring you out, and you feel like this wandering star that now everything begins. I never did that. I would not allow myself to do that. I said, no, I want to be in the worship. I want to be in the worship because that's my life. Hallelujah. You know, I'm an old man now. So you get to emphasize a few things when you're elderly. Now, I'll give you the theme of what I want to emphasize this morning. I hope I get to it. I want to talk to you about being a pillar. Being a pillar. I've wanted all my life to be reliable. It's been personal drive that I would serve the Lord and come to the place eventually that the testimony of the period of service to the Lord, the time of service, that I might qualify before God as a pillar. And now I am looking at my life with the same degree of desire. So for a few minutes, I'd like to share with you about being a pillar. Before I go, I found something in my study this past week that I thought was so good, a saying. This saying came from a well-respected general of the U.S. Army, General Douglas MacArthur. But it was something that deals with age. You know, when you get to my age, you start to be age conscious. And so this is what he said. Nobody grows old by merely living. They do not grow old by a number of years. People grow old only by deserting ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up a purpose wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, fear, idleness, these are the long, long times that bow the head and turn the spirit back to dust. You are as young as your faith. I still got a desire. I'm looking for a greater fulfillment of the promises of God. Praise God. Turn with me, if you will, as a text, I'll read to you something, and I know that you know it, but I'll read it. And it's the premise by which I would like to share with you this morning about a pillar. Paul was speaking to the young man Timothy, and he said, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." My doctrine. Doctrine is not just your belief or your tenet of faith, is it? Doctrine is the reality of the conscious teaching of the Holy Spirit concerning our practice. There are 9 things here that he talks about, but I'm not going to attempt to even reach toward those this morning, but I'd like to stop and just mention a few things to you concerning this. Now, if I never get back to this, you will understand. He's old now. He wanders a little bit. Doctrine is that which you live, not what you believe. Can I hear an amen? And with this, I want to give you a shocking story that happened to me last week. I received last week a dogma, a treatise from a great group of people who had gathered with the sole purpose to describe what was a sin yesterday is not a sin today in the eyes of God. Confusion. And then they said, "Would you please put your name on this list of those that agree that a God of love would never put forth these conscious conduct things in the Bible. A God of love would understand. And so these, we cannot believe, are any more sin." Every time there has been an attempt of men to gather together to decide what God wants, in the midst of their confusion, they have always come to the conclusion that that which the Bible has declared is not the emphasis of God. This is not the first time that hundreds of ministers yet gathered. I spent over an hour logging through the names of those that had signed to this treatise, to this doctrine, to this understanding. Most of them were ministry, pastors. Most of them were workers. And yet here they were following the first record of disobedience that we have in heaven. I can understand Lucifer. And today I'd like to say, listen, the program of Lucifer is the same today as it was in eternity past. He still wants to be God. I can understand Lucifer, but I cannot understand the 1/3 of those that went with him. You see, just because the whole world believes something, that doesn't mean that you are separate and that you believe it because the world believes it. Everything about redemption is personal. It's highly personal. In fact, in a moment, if I can, I'd like to read to you the personality of the first and great commandment. It begins with thou, which is personal. Doesn't say nation. Doesn't say all you people. So the system of the enemy is still the same. Get as many people to agree with you as possible. Where did that system originate? It originated in heaven. It originated amongst the false drive of Lucifer himself, wanting to be a god. One third of those went with him. What do you think was their idea? Well, everybody believes this. Everybody is doing. That's diabolical. That in itself is confusion. Would you mind, and here I go down another rabbit trail. Would you mind if I read to you the first commandment? Paul said to Timothy, you have fully known my doctrine. He went on and he said, by manner of life. I want you to see the personality of God as we remind ourselves with the first commandment given to the children of Israel. God spake all these words, saying, I, look at the personality of it, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What a beautiful thing that he has done. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his chosen people. He's talking to the one that he's done miracles with. He's speaking to those that there would come a time when they would desire to have the gods of the enemies round about them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. This is such a scripture and a record given to Israel that it's so full of the personality of God. He is not speaking here as the Almighty, separate in his God powers with such an emphasis. He is speaking personally. He's talking to them like some compatriot. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God. And he speaks in language you and I can understand. And he uses human terms and passions that mean something to us. I am a jealous God. We know what that means. Our God, you mean? As he gives us commands about God? Yes. What I'm wanting to emphasize here, this group got together asking me to sign what is sin. That's God's place. That's God who makes the decision. And God takes it personally if we begin to have another God. And I know where the spirit of that thing came from. It came from Lucifer itself. Lucifer is always trying to tell us, this is not so bad. Oh, this is really not a sin. He tried that with Eve in the garden. He tried that there. Something that shocks me is in our doctrine, men that are here this morning and ladies that are teachers, we've got to realize that our God is a God of counsel, but he also is a God of mercy. Can I hear an amen? But in his mercy, he hath not forgotten judgment. Is this correct? Can I give you something shocking this morning? How does the Bible end? What is the atmosphere of the ending of the Bible? Well, let me read it to you, because we have the first dealings with the children of Israel. Do not have any other priorities outside of your relationship personally with me. You may think that God is impersonal. He is not. We serve a personal God. Our worship is highly personable. And that which we entered into this morning is not just something that is just, well, we do this in the church. The church does this. No, God is not satisfied with that. He is a personal relationship Lord. Can I hear that? An amen. You may be here this morning and enjoying the activities which have been taught here regarding worship and seeking the Lord. But I want to encourage you today, God wants that from us all individually. Amen. Go ahead, clap. That was a good statement. Listen to the ending of the Bible. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, offspring of David, bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, be invited, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Say the same thing. Say what the Spirit is saying. Come, let's go worship the Lord. He is worthy to be worshipped. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Can you say amen to that? Now listen. Listen to the way the whole Bible is going to end. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And, conjunction, if any man shall take away from the words, the teachings, the message of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. The shock to me as I read that is the hundreds of promises and the grace of God that's been revealed in the Bible. And we know he was not just talking here of the book of the Revelation. He's talking about the whole Bible. When God, who is a loving God and a merciful God, a kind God, when he was bringing to an end all of the message, all of the prophecy, when he was bringing to the end his dispensation to man, the Bible ends up in a negative atmosphere. It ends up with, be careful. And this is the day that we have lost our carefulness. This day we've become so common. I got that treatise from a group of people. Immediately in my mind came, where did this come from? Trying to get ministers to put their name onto this foul thing. It came from the pit. It came to bring despite to the Lord God, our Savior. And if we had any regard and if we had any reverence and honor for God Himself, we would never stand up thinking we are gods to be able to decide what is sin and what is a violation. Let me go back to that scripture. It's there somewhere. In Timothy, he said these words. He says, you have known my doctrine. Well, this is the day when you can hear whatever you want to hear. You'll find it. And it's not doctrine, it's just teaching. The Bible says in Timothy, there will be people that will just love to hear something new. You have fully known my doctrine. Manner of life. Look where Paul puts it. God is concerned about our conduct. God is concerned with how we live. God is concerned with the way we do things. Can I hear an amen? Now, that doctrine has got to be emphasized in our day, because we have come to a day that where the move of God down through the years has been do-isms. What does God want us to do? And so we've had moves of the Holy Spirit of God come to the people of the Lord, and it's always been in the midst of what we can do next. I do remember when the joyful praise ministry and worship came to the house of God, and we would victory march, and we would dance before the Lord. It was wonderful. It was great. There was nothing wrong with it. But in the midst of it, in the midst of all of that, there seems to have been a need for us to accelerate also, not only in our liberty, not only in our freedoms, but to accelerate in our reverence for the Lord God Almighty, that He is God all by Himself. When you read the book of Isaiah, he speaks constantly about, I am God. I am the Lord. This is what he said in the first degree, for I am the Lord, thy God. He was bringing forth this personal thing. And that's why today, if we're looking for something that's new, we've had moves of God, and thank God for them, in healing revivals, in prophetic revivals. And it's always been in the area, excuse me, of our doings. But is it time now that we have such a people dedicated to their personal relationship with God that they have such a reverence and honor for God that in the midst of our doings, it has the reality ring to it? It doesn't smell like another new operation. It has something that's in it where God Himself and the angels will look from heaven and say, there is honor, there is dedication, there is worship given and reverence to the Lord God Almighty. We are living in an irreverent culture. An irreverent society. And reverence is not speaking about silence. It's greater than silence. For we have got to know, and we have heard in days gone by, when we speak about reverence, people automatically think of silence. Reverence is the highest esteem that we have for God, that we have for His commands, that we do not sin because we esteem our God greater than the experience of that sin. Go ahead, clap. I wanted to be a pillar in my life. Well, then I should find out what God means. And He said this. He said, if you want to be a pillar, you've got to know how to act. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul giving to us again this discussion, he said, but if I tarry long, he's speaking to the young man, Timothy, I want that thou mayest know how that thou mightest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I may have left this with you. What is that pillar and ground? What is that thing? That's not just any memorial. That's just not any stylus that's been raised. That's just not just some monument that we put in our nation. It was a direct pillar. And the ground of truth, which is Bethel, the house of God. And Paul was speaking to Timothy, if you desire to serve the Lord, you need to know how you should behave yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. Not every memorial, but the memorial of Jacob when he was running away from Esau, afraid for his very life. And he gets into a jungle place. And he is so exhausted because of his running. He puts his head on a stone. And there has a vision. And the vision is of this great ladder that goes up into the eternal realms, into the presence of God. On it are ministering spirits coming down and going back up, ministering to him. And when he awakens the next day, he takes the stones that he has there and he builds a pillar. And he says, surely this is Bethel, the house of God. And this ground is sacred. It is holy. This is the pillar and ground of truth. The house of God is to be an example like that. This is the place when sanctified prayers are given unto God. This is the place where we can expect to touch God in the heavenlies, where we can expect the Spirit of the Lord and the spirits of God to be sent to minister unto every individual if we know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. And I'm speaking that about doctrine. Doctrine deals with behavior. What does God want? What is His attitude? Doctrine deals with conduct. And if there's anything that the world needs today, it needs to know behavior. It needs to know conduct. We have given to God a message of, please come and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Would you mind if I emphasize something else to us this morning, that I want to bring praise unto God? My brother and my sister, as though I had the right to accept. No, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. That doctrine is not well received. We need to know how to act and how to respond to God. On which angle is our approach unto the Lord? The angle is we care so much for God. We do want His pleasure. Now, God moves in different ways and uses different systems to talk to us. I want you to recognize this with me this morning. God talks to us in teachings by the preaching of the word in the house of God. That's there. He does it constantly. But He also talks to us in the realm of reason, in the realm where you and I are given opportunity to compare, to literally have wisdom in our understanding, to use that wisdom to bring to us a godly style of worship and serving to the Lord. What reason? He asked in the book of Isaiah, he says, why are you praising me? Why are you giving me? What is your purpose for having special days? You know what he's talking about. And that is long before in 118 when he says, come now and let us reason together. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson. Isn't this a wonderful thing that God would give unto us that promise? Reason. That coming to the conclusion of taking my understanding and saying, this is the reason. It makes sense. It is absolutely something that God has given to us to understand. So I want to say to you this morning, as we accept the balance of the fact that the great apostle Paul emphasized to us the grace of God, for by grace are you saved. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he gave us that. But Paul also gave us the fact of the wisdom and the counsel and the judgments of God. And he took the two of them and he put them in balance. And this morning, as we're in the house of God, I do not want to just speak to you about the promises of God. I want us to rejoice in the fact that we have such a wonderful reverence for God, that the people in the earth would look and say, they reverence God. God is God to them. They rely upon their God, not because of His promises, not because of His miracles, but because of who He is. He's God Almighty, Creator. And we need to have the opportunity of bringing forth that respect and that honor in the midst of all of our activities as we serve the Lord. And I am not saying that you cannot have liberty without reverence. You can have people in the house of God dancing with reckless abandonment. And what makes it reverential is when it's real. when it's real. That references God. We had opportunity this morning, and our leaders led us to worship the Lord, and we had opportunity to enter into the presence of God. And I'll tell you, my brother and my sister, it's real. And when we begin to personally cry out the reality of our spirit, that in itself shows reverence for the Lord. The world needs to see a people who have such respect and reverence for God that they're not saying, oh, well, they serve him because of the benefits. But the world would say, they do have a God. They do honor their God. They do thank the Lord for his provisions. Can you say amen with me this morning? This is such an irreverential world time. Nothing is sacred. The world in itself, even our nation. We have a nation of freedom here in Canada. But there are things, not everything is bad, but there are things that are being attempted right now that are sins. They mean to bring bondage. And they would not be allowed if there was not an exposure of many people say, do you agree with this? Let this be voted in. Listen, the people are not right. God is right. God reserves the right to say something is sin and not allowed. Come on now. Come on now. And if we reverence God, if we reverence him, we're going to reverence who he is and what he commands. So when Paul says, Timothy, I want you to know how to behave in the house of God. It's the pillar and ground of truth. And in that behavior, I'm appealing to you with me. Can we bring up a generation that has the liberty and the anointing of God in our spirit? Can we bring up a generation that can worship the Lord and grow deep in the things of God? Can we bring up a generation that has such faith, liberty, that the joy of the Lord is expressed, but that it's real? And it's real because we know how to function in the house of God. When I came into the service this morning and sat down there, I don't know why, but I said to myself, Mel Davis, you know how to behave in the house of God. So I lifted up both hands. And I began to thank God for it. I began to say, thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. I dropped a few words in tongues. I know how to behave in the house of God. I honor the Lord. I reverence the Lord. Hallelujah. That's all I've got to say this morning. I hope you can make some order out of this. But I want you to know that I do love God. I think that God is preparing you for something in the future that is beyond what you've experienced presently, and I thank God for that. And with it, we must all enter in to what God does in the church. Come on now. I'm asking for the pillars to be pillars in the house of God, not just attenders, to be reliable, to be pillars. I didn't really talk too much on pillars. But you can sense what I'm saying. I'm asking you that when God comes along and begins to ask you to reason with him, it's so personal. The first command is so personal. Give me an explanation. God is saying, why are you doing this? Well, I've gone to church on many occasions because I really had a need. I came this morning with a need. But it's more than just the explanation of the need. In the reason part of it, where we are to give an account to every man, the reason of the hope that lieth within us, it's more than a justification. Would you listen through these ears this morning where Paul spoke? And he said, justify. Give a legal reason why you should be praising the Lord and expecting an answer. That puts a different sense on it in myself. Do I qualify to enter into the very presence of God? I know we talked about this years ago. We talked about it. I can remember saying to the congregation, turn off the top 20 when you're coming to church and prepare yourself to enter into the presence of the Lord. Justify the fact that we can come to the Lord's house, a place where he dwells and has given promise. Justify legally. You are coming with the right spirit, with the right attitude. Don't get so used to the move of the Spirit of God that it becomes, that's what they do there. It's personal. That's what we do in the house of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If your conduct is slipping a little bit as you get older, and you're thinking, well, you don't have to be in every service, don't listen to that lie of the devil. Don't listen to the TV ads that say, now that you're getting older, slow down a bit. Listen. I'm getting older, but I haven't been slowing down. Hallelujah! Please keep inviting me. Even if all I've got is the ability to pray over the offering publicly. What is your idea, God is saying, of coming into my presence? What is your motive? What is your reason? How are you thinking about me? You say, how do I get in the Spirit? Get your thinking straight first. Don't think of everything you've got to do. Don't think. I've sang this song before. Don't think. I raised up my hand last week. Think right. And let there be good sense in the house of God. Stand with me this morning. Will you do that, please? Just in case you were wondering, this is a good series of thoughts. I'd like to praise God this morning in our closing prayer. Are there those here that have the desire that I have to be a pillar in the house of God? To be a pillar, to be known in my family. I want my wife, I want my kids to be able to say, Dad's reliable. When he comes, he always does the same thing in the house of God. He worships, he praises the Lord. He thanks God, he prays. He listens to the Holy Spirit teaching. He loves the house of God. I want to be a pillar. How many can be that way this morning with me? Slip your hands up and let's believe God. Yes. I want to be known as steadfast. Father, this morning, thank you for the sense of your presence. Thank you, Lord, because you have asked us to come into your presence with the holiness of reverence. We reverence the Lord God, our God, this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being here. We remind ourselves we have come to seek after the Lord. Father, we lift up our hands right now and we give you a thankful praise. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. One more shout. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, Pastor. Glory be to God.